and then you start building. Well, what do you build? How do you build? Do you put together this whole community and you put the church here and everybody comes to the church and then you put the schools? No, I think what you do is make your little entertainment area where you know people will come, even if only for a few short months or years, to avail themselves of what you have to offer. And then you put your own good laws to work there. And they can come visit your nation under your circumstances and your regulations. And you become an offshore banking center. That means you're going to have to set yourself up as a nation. And within that nation, you're going to have the representatives that keep the records for these other entities. Let us say now you have established yourself as a little nation and you're going to call yourself a state. Go find out how the state of Nevada is structured. And I'm dead serious. Nevada. Not Delaware. Not Pennsylvania. Nevada. Because they have structured their laws, their corporate laws, to fit the unlawful. The criminal element. Find out how they set that up. Doesn't mean you have to be criminal to be able to utilize a system that works. You're going to need to be able to have a Secretary of State type of person to oversee all of the record keeping, because along with being an offshore banking facility, you got to have an offshore capability of incorporation, don't you? So there is no end to the numbers of people that could be informed enough to go help. But if everybody keeps you out because you're some color or another, you're going to be overtaken. And I'm here to tell you, it will be from Asia. It will be the Chinese, the Mongolian tribes, because of the numbers available. And one says, oh, are you going to say now you don't like the Chinese or we should go with the Chinese? I'm an equal opportunity employer. I like the Chinese a lot better than almost everybody else. So what are we talking about? Do you want me to be on your side because you are somehow special? You are special and you are unique, but you are no more special and no more unique than anybody else. But you have the capability of changing those prophecies and to change a world in war is unacceptable in the realms of God. You don't have to go that route. It never, never, never works. You have to unify. And that doesn't mean everybody gets around the same fire. It means the soul has to unite with someone who wants a better way. And a better way cannot exist until man has self-esteem and respect. You cannot legislate respect. You cannot legislate morality. You can pass laws that require people act in one way or another to pretend. Let's pretend. I love you. You cannot pretend to love. You either do or you don't. It's like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. You're not a little bit. You're not a whole lot, even though you're bitter. You either are or you aren't. And life begins at conception. So don't come telling me, oh, well, but it's just a little teeny egg, and I made a little mistake, and, you know, it did meet up with the sperm some way. I was innocent. I was sound asleep, and I just woke up, and my little kit was blue or pink or whatever. It must have been a miracle. No. You were being human. And there's nothing wrong with being human. Unless you're using somebody else, that's not right. But that's between you and them and God. But the point is, life has been established. And you did it. Not Commander, not God, not the little gray alien. You did it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Kill it? Or are you going to say, I'll be dipped. I'd really rather this not have happened, but there must be a higher purpose here if I take responsibility. It's a much lower purpose if you just go over and get an abortion. But think about those steps out there in front of you. Little Crow was right when he talked about mixed races. You're old enough that you've lived through some of these things. The trauma and the pain is going to hit you in an unbelievable wave of illness the first time your child is beaten up or taunted or kicked out because they're different. And they're no different. You see, they're human beings. And what made this Christed being that is accepted so openly by, let us say, the Lakota, this standing bear image, this Christ image, what makes that so important is because it tells you you must be responsible. God will always offer the way. You will make the choices. And most of the time, the choice is just to put it aside. Because you don't understand enough. You don't think it can be done. The minute you thought of it and you think that it cannot be done, you have negated the entire creative idea and process. Because if you can think of it, it not only can, but it has been done. So all I have to do in this room, as an example, is just plant that seed right there in that little Indian acre and see what you do. Ones are absolutely itching to do something with this in the LA area. But they don't know what to do. And they get shot down as that would never work by some man who tells you that won't ever work. And you go home, oh, I guess it won't. And I don't have the resources. I don't know the right people. You only are going to know the right people by meeting people who know people. All that it requires is one who knows. And if I happen to represent that one who knows, that's okay. Because there is no bigger doubter or more discouraged entity, especially in this room, than my translator. If I can get past her, you know, when she wakes up and says, yeah, well, we tried that, and I mean, God, they all pulled their guns out and shot us. Oh, no shit. They did that? Just because you offered them money? Well, it was just on paper, so they didn't believe it anyway. Find out. You see, it was, I've watched this. You have to come into your understanding. And this won't make sense to 99% in this room. And I'm not going to explain it further because it is so tedious and so important that we not blow anything. But you start out with something so massive, there's nobody except we poor idiots that can understand it and its magnitude. And then gradually we step a little bit farther and a little bit forward, and finally you say, hey, I got it. I don't have to use this one that takes up 9/10 of the world. I can break off an end of this loaf of bread, and I can bring it down here to where I can nibble at it, and others can use it. It just takes people and typewriters and effort and a few who have that are willing to share. It isn't that they're going to give you anything. They are going to make back twice or three times what they offer you just to back something. But you see, if our people who know what to do are not allowed across your sovereign border, and you're not going to listen to them if they get over there, it isn't worth it. Because the entire attitude of all individuals involved is incorrect. You don't want better. You want something for yourself. You're still in the me stage. Look what they did to me. Who's going to apologize to all of you for your enslavement? Don't you realize these elite idiots sit there and laugh at you? An apology to the men of Tuskegee because they killed them with syphilis? And years later, half a century later, oh, we apologize. That really wasn't a nice thing to do. And there may be two left from that little trinket program to even smile and accept these stupid accolades. And they do it to you over and over and over and over again. So, what am I saying here? Hear me well. I'm saying you are going to have to confront what you think of God. Number one, you have got to get rid of these onion skins of limitation. And you're going to have to unite. And that doesn't mean you build great armies. You take one mind over to somebody else who has an idea, and black or white, red, green, purple, I don't care what your color is, you sit there until you understand what the other one is saying to you. That's called communication. And then where this one may not be acceptable into this elite circle, maybe you can take it one step further. I am telling you right here, right now, how you can change this nation. And I'm also going to tell you that it is through this nation that it will come about. Or it will not. How long has it been since I asked for a connection to Louis Farrakhan? I don't need a connection with Louis Farrakhan. And we've sent stuff to Louis Farrakhan. I could count better than the government on the Million Man March. I don't know what was wrong with their calculator. Does this mean that I worship at the feet of a Louis Farrakhan? No. I am not Islamic and I'm not Muslim, but I'm not Christian and I'm not Jew. I am Christed. That means that every fragment of my energy is focused on God and the way to do things so that we can possibly do a human restructuring so that man can see he is a victim of his own limitation. Lewis did not have to change his color to collect over 1 million people. But you have to start. And it will be through the Indian nation, the Lakota, as a matter of fact, that you will make those final individual personal contacts with some of these major players. Do you need Gaddafi in Libya? I mean, after all, that terrible Gaddafi at that Farrakhan thing and that international thing, they actually, do you realize that Islamic gathering put up a picture of and listened to Muammar Gaddafi? He is the insipid friend of Louis Farrakhan. What do you know about Muammar Gaddafi, this colonel? He doesn't even call himself general or admiral. Well, what you don't seem to ever find out in your United States of America, which is free of oppression or anything, in Libya, the proceeds and profits of the government and all dealings go back to the people. Every family is guaranteed a wonderful place to live. And they receive. They also give and work within this society. Gaddafi didn't sit up there hoarding it all away. That is a false rumor. It was all right for your Ronald Reagan to go over and kill his child by bombing his castle trying to kill him. But you don't know the truth. Because you are slaves. And it's not becoming to you, especially in this day and time, where your own so-called social level or peer laughs at you. The United States of America is a laughingstock. If you go travel somewhere, oh, they're going to be nice to you because you will usually come with your loud mouth and your money. And they will smile at you, and you wait to see what the Orientals will do to you. Ah, so grin, grin, because they can hardly contain themselves face to face. And you know what they will call you in Europe if you're a tourist? I don't care if you're black, green, orange, or purple, they will call you American if they've taken you. You know, I had 6 tourists and 12 Americans. In other words, I ripped off 12 people. I am not joshing you. This is the way it is. If you get to know the people within that society. And there was this hearkening back to early on, you know, longer than 10 years ago, with this wonderful thing of this Texan that asked E.J. and Doris to go to Switzerland to meet Billy Meyer and maybe see a UFO. And Little Crow, he just scratched his head and he sat back and he laughed and he said, "Why the hell would you go so far? You don't have to go anywhere to meet your brothers." And it was just one of those other things set aside for the lesson to take its rightful, final comprehension. You search the world. You come here. You go there. And I mean literally. You physically bring yourself here, and you bring yourself there, and you run to India. You run to Tibet. Oh, and maybe there's somebody on one of those mountains called Olympus in Macedonia. Maybe I'll run there. Or I heard there were some underground beings at South Pole. I'm going to go down there. Why? Why put yourself out unless you like to travel? The most remarkable thing that Dorma's had to understand, because she will bring this up to every one of you, if I let her speak. She will say, "I don't know how you do it. We'll talk specifically about one or two, like the Clays. They can't help it if Philip is my son. All that is important is that he know it and I know it. And it's a level of knowing. I rarely tell any one of you, hey, it's time you open your eyes. I need you now. I put my call out to you. It's been interesting over the period of 10 years. I've only done that like three times, four times at the very, very most. I told Rick it was time to come here. And then Zita came. And then Nora came, but I didn't say, Nora, you got to come over here, until she had already made up her mind. That's what she was guided to do. Nora is one of the best research people you are ever going to find anywhere. And you better believe it. We needed her, and she came, and that was a blessing. And then others come that have absolutely taken on such incredible responsibility, and over the period of their growth have relieved these sets of shoulders and given the confirmation that the higher energies don't just dump on her or Helen or someone else in this room. It is shared. There are others that hear, and they hear so clearly that Dharma will still get letters thanking her for writing she didn't do. Others will say, well, don't you guys up there ever communicate? And then will come the 3 weeks in a row where we have written so incredibly, succinctly, identically, that you're overwhelmed. I'm not here to do anything for you. But you are here to do some things for me. You cannot spiritually snap a finger and have the hearts and minds of man changed. Not to even consider in the remotest portion of your mind the changing of a soul intent. You're not here to change your soul intent. You're here to understand it. What I can do, ye can do, and more. When you understand it. That's what God is about. And yes, I get sent running around. But you have to be the hands and the feet and the operators that make it work in a human physical environment, or you will not be allowed to do it. That has taken 10 years, really, to get across to a few handfuls. Because I'm telling you, by the time I showed up here in late 1987, within a week, Randall, Rick, everybody, I can name you off. By the time you got here and he got here and you're sitting around, oh, I get it. Let me get my blindfold. Let me lay down. Let me get ready. Okay, sir. So who are you? Well, oh gosh. You know, I'm grandfather, so let us explain that. And I heard Zita reminding Dharma of one of the funniest stories. It was after that first harmonic conversion that people had come as early as the 13th and didn't go until the 20th, you know. And, boy, when that last human being left, you wonder, what in the world has hit this place? I think maybe the war really happened right here in my kitchen. So the first morning after everybody's gone, well, we better get this place just tidied up enough so that, you know, you walk on the kitchen floor and your shoes stick. Well, it was such an incredible experience. Nobody minded. Nobody cared. It was one of those experiences that you can never duplicate as you come into this kind of camaraderie. But EJ and Doris are going to pick things up, and so they pick things up. And finally, the day has gone by, and they are down to cleaning the kitchen floor. EJ is at one end of the kitchen in a little dinette area, and he's sweeping. Dorma's at the other end. She's going to mop. Oh, wasn't this wonderful? Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And, you know, back to the old broom and mop. And isn't this a good day? But it's kind of nice to have our house back and, you know, all of these things passing by. And then there is this long pause. And Dorma leans against the little desk there built into the corner of that kitchen area. And she says, EJ, you don't believe this. And he says, well, after the last few days, I would believe anything, so you may as well just tell me. And I said, somebody named Grandfather would like to speak to me or make a tape or do something. Well, oh, do you want me to go get the... Oh, gosh, no. Don't bring any of that other stuff out here. I told Grandfather, she said, that when I am through, then I'll do whatever it is you might want me to do. Oh, you told Grandfather that? Yeah. And I know that's who it is because he doesn't go away. And so she turned around and said, when I get through with this kitchen, I will come. And she is flat off her ass. And she, talk about purple. She's purple. And, of course, EJ had to drop what he was doing to get over there. And in a minute, two of them dragging her into the couch. She said, I guess we're going to make a tape. If you want to go get that thing. Oh, well, thank you, dear. And what would be the most interesting thing that you guys could conjure would be to find some of those interesting tapes. Because the first night that Tuita was in the house, see, she speaks fluently for Ashtar. And there were some really incredible magic tricks that took place there. While an Indian was in the room and plants were going around and laying down on the floor and this sort of thing, and everybody's aghast, much the most, the hostess. I mean, now look, there's dirt on the floor. So she dives for the plant dirt. Little Crow just slaps, you know, grabs her arm and said, I'll do that. That is sacred. Oh, well, pardon me, it looked like dirt. And I don't really know what's coming off here. I'll do that. And so that night comes Ashtar, just wham, right through to Tuita, who recognizes him. And David had learned to recognize, much like EJ, when I want to speak, I first nudge EJ, get the stuff, I'm going to talk. And you who have wondered how that works, that's the way it works. Or you can leave her laying there. It's immaterial to me. So by now, there are only a few left in the room. It's 11 o'clock or 11:30 at night. And ones have wandered out, gone to bed or whatever, or weren't there yet. And here comes Ashtar and Tuita. And it just happens that there were some chairs sitting around, and Doris was sitting right in front of Tuita. And, of course, David asked EJ if he had a tape recorder, and so whatever was happening. And not only is Tuita facing Doris face-to-face, and there are two or three people behind her and a couple talking over on the couch. And so this energy says to Doris, within the next little while, you can expect to be visited by all of these energies. And you have to familiarize yourself. You will be given all of the credentials. You will only be given truth, so that whatever you give will be in truth. And there will be those who understand, because you will not always understand. There will be much technical knowledge that will be given to you for you to write, and you will have no idea what it is or what it's about. But you will learn to do that. And it was really funny, because the faster he went, the more she turned around to see who he was talking to behind her. And he finally said, "No, you." And he said, "I presume you know who I am. You understand what I've said. And I'm going to take my leave," and wham, gone. You are in the most incredible experience of any soul's lifetime. Don't waste it. Don't waste it searching in the wrong corners, looking for that fulfillment outside yourself. You don't even look to God for that. You bring yourself up with that which you know, and you'll be all right with God. You don't have to get redemption from someone. Lewis uses the term atonement. And you think I don't know Lewis Farrakhan? My name is Aton. My name, my label is Aton. And most who have ever received from me don't want to face that. I mean, Aton is just nothing but a record keeper in the galactic fleet. How dare you make him more? So one speaker receiver after another turns away. Because after all, you can't look on the countenance of God. He's too bright. And he only has one speaker and one this and one that. And I'm in, of course. The Silver Ray had a speaker who had the audacity to sit and say, "I am the only speaker on earth for the Silver Ray." This is a creator ray. My simple question to this receiver was, "You better get your energy form here right now, because I'm going to confront it." "Oh, he's here." "No, he isn't. So I guess I'm going to confront you." Well, that was a moment. And we didn't have that one visit much anymore. But one of the best reminders you will ever have is the tape that Grandfather made that day. And he warned you exactly how it would be. You will be ridiculed. You will be put down. You will have all sorts of trouble. Then you're going to get blamed for stuff. Then there's going to be all of this stuff about UFOs and possible aliens. And then finally, everything wrong with your nation is going to be blamed on aliens. Well, considering that you're all aliens, I think that's a fair statement. Isn't life and living wonderful? And I know you're saying, "Oh, God, he's just going to rattle on and on and on. And I came to hear this and this and this." And all he's talking about are Indians and nations and banks and corporations. And I came for some spiritual enlightenment. And so I suggest you get it. You're it. Turn up your wick a little bit, brothers. I'm offering you fuel. You got to light your light. And you're going to walk out of here and you're going to go, I don't have anything like that to work with. And so I don't know what he's talking about. I don't even know any Indians. I'm in this put-down ghetto. Well, the put-down ghetto around here, since the extra program, is Golden Hills on Adam Drive.
That's the
palatial compound. I want all of you to respect that. You see how much fun you have in store for you. And there's not one person in this room that can't walk right up to EJ or Rick and say, what the hell is he talking about? I want one of those things, whatever it is, so I can take it over here to Joe Green and show him and have my own Paiute Mountain Casino Bank and Corporation Company. Fine. How much did you want it for? All you got to do is do it. And if you don't feel you can do it, find someone who can. Just don't say I can't. Just don't say I can't. Because in that statement, you are acknowledging that you certainly can, but you won't. And no, I don't do magic, although magic is everywhere I am, because you are. You are the miracle. You are the elemental miracle. You are the reality of every miracle. And still, Doris would say, well, I would just like it if maybe you would just, you know, sort of manifest a ring or something that I can put on my finger. If you don't believe in me more than that, that ring won't mean anything to you. Nothing. Zip. Zilch. And if in the reality of the moment there is manifestation in physical form of either craft or being, does that make your way easier or harder? I always have to make those kinds of determinations. Look what happened after one idiotic 5-minute period on an international television program called Extra, that your lives became hell for a while. Until they had to eat their words because they got their information from liars. Oh, are you going to get off on that one again? No, I'm not. But a liar is a liar. And you want me to shelter them, hide them, while my own people are mistreated because of that lie? Perish the thought. Not going to happen. But you're going to live and work and experience long enough that it unfolds itself. And then you can move on. And let me tell you, Doris was not eager for this day to come any more than for the first of the year to come. There are two times in the year that you know my thrust is going to be hard, heavy, and different. And so she gets up and she says, oh, God, what are we going to move off into now? Well, you just heard part of it. There are some of the masters that have asked for dispensation to postpone or slow up this mad dash to the end that you want to insist upon. There are the Germains, the Lord Michaels, the Rainbow Masters, if you will, the teachers, the Universal Fleet. You see, we're talking about thought projection, thought manifestation. And then you get your confirmation by little things like, oh, Well, I guess that might be so because I understand they're going to start transporting packages from one terminal to another. What? Do you know what that means? They're going to have to dissolve or disintegrate into molecular form whatever's in that box, whatever the box is, whatever the writing is, and through energy waves, deliver it over here somewhere. This is already workable on your place. You just haven't caught up. It can be done the same with food. You order a pizza, what did you want on it? Pepperoni. And if they send sausage, you can send it back. You already have that kind of technology. And then years later, they'll say, oh, well, we covered it up because we didn't want you to panic. We had to have enough little gray aliens stashed underground, you idiots, so that you would think they're bad. Because the real space travelers are good. And they don't have any trouble working within the universal laws of God. Because those are the dimensions through which you're going to have to travel to. Also. And these are the subjects I've been wanting to get down to for 10 years. Your ability to be creator. And someday, and don't you for 1 minute think it will not be said, one day, what we do in this room will be so historically profound. And some of you are going to say, my God, and I was there.